Alanis, you're going to have a hard time, bless your heart. The definition of peace, the Greek word is irene. It's equivalent to the Hebrew word shalom, which most of us know shalom in the Old Testament. They would greet each other with that shalom, which meant basically peace, but it meant a wholeness, a completeness in the Lord. So that's what peace is. It's tranquility in your soul that's unaffected by outward circumstances or pressure. You know, when you really need peace is when your world is falling apart. And if you haven't been there, live a few more days. Right? How many can testify, I've been through the world falling apart. And the one constant in our life is Jesus. Amen. Jesus is the constant that brings peace in the midst of the storm. It says, even Irene strongly suggests the rule of order in the place of chaos. When acting in peace, one has a calm, an inner stability that results in the ability to conduct himself peacefully, even in the midst of circumstances that would normally be very nerve-wracking, traumatic, or upsetting. And peace is one of the fruit of the Spirit. If you go back to Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, verses 18 through 20, 21, talks about basically what he brought us out of. The works of the flesh is what it calls it. And you may identify with some of those works of the flesh, but that ought not be any longer. You ought to be beginning to see the fruit of the Spirit live in you. Chapter 5, verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. There's eight of them, I believe. But peace is, maybe nine, but peace is one of the one. I believe that there's one fruit of the Spirit, it's love. And I believe that all the other words are characteristics of love. Because he says fruit, not fruits. He said there's a fruit of the Spirit. That fruit is love. And love is peaceful. Right? It's long-suffering. It's goodness. It's gentle. It's all those things. You know, in Psalms 29, verse 11, he says, the Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. I don't know about you, but there's times in my life when I do not feel that I can cut it on my own. Now, you may not see that in me because I hide that. And you hide it too. We like to act like we've got our act together. Like, hey, I've got everything together in my life. But on the inside, we're saying, I'm falling apart. Please, somebody help me. And the Lord says, I will be your strength. I will bless you with peace. I'm telling you, there are times in your life when you will go back to this and you'll say, God, you promised it. I'm standing on it right now. Isaiah, which is a lot of these verses have already been read. Isaiah chapter 9, this is the prophecy of Jesus. And I want you to, don't dismiss me yet. For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called, here's the way we read this, his name will be called Wonderful Counselor. I want you to notice that there is a comma after the word wonderful. It is not Wonderful Counselor. His name will be called Wonderful. I love that. I don't know about you, but when I begin to worship him, I worship him as the Wonderful Savior. He's wonderful. The old song gets sweeter as the days go by. The more intimate you get with Jesus, the more wonderful you're going to find he is. It's like being married 65 years. I'm telling you, you couldn't separate that couple. You know why? They have dwelt together for 65 years. They know each other. They probably can complete each other's sentences. And as you walk with the Lord, there's that intimacy of husband and wife that you can get with him. And then you'll begin to say, you're wonderful. Are you a counselor? Absolutely. I go to him all the time. God, I don't know which way's up. You need to direct my path. You are a counselor, and I thank God for the counsel of the Holy Spirit. But don't put these two words together, because they're two separate. He's wonderful. He's a counselor. He's a mighty God. He's the everlasting Father. He's the Prince of Peace. I was fatherless growing up. One day when I was leading worship, I was feeling sorry for myself not having a father. And the Lord spoke to my heart in the middle of a song, and he said, I'm a father to the fatherless. I will be your daddy. And I'm going to tell you, he has been. And then he brought me a father-in-law that was precious, that I got to really understand what being a dad is all about. But the last word, he's the Prince of Peace. In other words, he's not just peace, he's the Prince. He is the one that, if you think you know about peace, look at the life of Jesus, because he's the Prince of Peace. He is going to show you. Think about it. In the garden, he sweat drops of blood. We didn't even think that was possible until scientists in the 1900s, late 1900s, they began to study this. And they said, if you're under such immense pressure, your capillaries will begin to break and rupture, and drops of blood can literally come from your forehead. I'm telling you, Scripture never embellishes. It never lies. If it said he sweat drops of blood, he sweat drops of blood. And yes, we know now that it is possible when the pressure of life gets so much. But even under that immense pressure, the word Gethsemane means crushing. He was in the garden of crushing. And all that pressure, he never lost his peace. The Bible says that he went to the cross with joy in his heart because he was looking forward, not to the death, not to the pain on the cross. He was looking forward to what this thing would do for each one of us, that it would bring us back into relationship. We couldn't know the peace of God until he died to give it to us. John 14:27, just read a second ago, said, peace I leave with you. But here's the next word, my peace. It's not just like he fashioned something and said, here, take this peace. But he did this. No, take this peace. This peace that I walk in, this peace that I have brought to earth, I want you to take my peace, give I unto you. Now, I don't know if that means anything to anybody, but I'm going to tell you, there's been times in my life when I stood on that. God, you said I could have your peace. Right now on the inside, I'm falling apart, but I claim your peace in this situation. You know, a king one time, he said he wanted someone to paint a picture that would reflect peace, and people were painting all these pictures of tranquility and just the nice, solemn pictures. But one person painted a picture that it was a storm, and the storm was blowing and trees were bending over. And in the midst of that storm, there was in a cleft of a rock, there was a little bird's nest, and it was safe and secure. See, God never told us that we would not have storms. He just said, I'll protect you in the storm. And the king said, that's peace. That's the picture that reflects really the peace of God. John 16:33, these things I've spoken to you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you'll have tribulation. No truer words ever been written in the Scripture than that. You will have tribulation in this world. And then he makes a ridiculous statement, but be of good cheer. Oh, yeah, praise the Lord, I'm going to have problems in life. Yes, that's what I want. I have overcome the world. You're safe and secure in me. Some of the words that's been coming to me lately, it's not by might. It's not by power. It's by my Spirit, says the Lord. Sometimes in my weakness, he shows himself strong. It's like the weaker I get, the stronger he gets. Amen. It's worth being vulnerable. Romans chapter 14, which came across last week as a word from the Lord. It says, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Now, can we just stop there? I wish the church would quit running after the party scene. That's good preaching. We spend all of our time going for the food and joy. Where's the next party at? I don't know about you, but sometimes the church will have a get-together, and there have been times in the past when they would put name tags on the tables. And I would look at who they set me beside, and I think, set me beside all the boring people is what they did. I guess they said, he belongs there. And so another table over here would be laughing and cutting up, and I'd think, I want to go to that table over there. Let's quit chasing the things of the world.
Amen.
I said last night, I said, hear the word of the Lord. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Guys, we've got it backward.
Amen.
We're chasing after things that don't matter.
Right.
We're chasing after things that are going to burn up.
Right.
He says, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Please hang on to that, because I'm coming back to it. For he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by men. Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify another. Let's seek after the things that make peace. You know, one of the things that I have figured out about this, about the things that Christ brought into the world, was he didn't just bring it into you. It wasn't just for you to selfishly enjoy it. God wants you to give it away. God wants you, matter of fact, part of the armor of God is that he said, I'll shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In other words, everywhere you go, you're taking the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ right into the room with you. So you can walk into a dramatic situation. Ever done that? You ever walk in a room and you feel the tension in the room? I got news for you. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. When you walked in, peace walked in. Now, sometimes I think we need to lay hold of it, right? We need to claim it and speak it and say, this nonsense is going to stop. I claim peace in Jesus' name. Sometimes that may be at your own dinner table. Bless God. Let's move on, Pastor. Now listen to this, Ephesians chapter 2, 14 says, for he himself is our peace, who has made both one. What's he talking about? Jews and Gentiles. There was such racism in the world. We think we created racism. No, no, no. It's always been here. Why? Because Satan is on the scene. If you think that you can love Jesus and have racism in your heart, that's nonsense. Racism is of the devil. It's hatred. God says, I come to give you love. Devil says, but you can still be a racist. That's nonsense. So Jesus says, he himself is our peace, who's made both one. Listen to this. And he has broken down the middle wall of separation. God can break down the walls of racism in your heart. You say, Eric, you just don't understand. This is the way I was raised. Yes, I do understand that. My grandfather was very racist. But guess what? He has broken down that wall. You got a new daddy. You got a new family when you walked into the family of God. When you accepted Jesus as Lord, you got a new father. You have new DNA. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus. So all things are passed away. All things are new now. So let the racism go. Let's walk in love. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, again this was read, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God," it comes when you get in contact with Jesus, when you begin to pray with thanksgiving, the peace of God comes there. And it says, "which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus." You may be in such a battle, you may not even understand why you are peaceful. Why do I have peace when everything is going wrong? I'm going through a divorce, and yes, I have peace. Say, so that's a ridiculous statement. No, it's not. Not with Jesus. You can go through any battle and walk in the peace of God. Says it's going to surpass your understanding. Well, guess what? There's lots of things in scriptures that surpass my understanding. I just don't understand a whole lot of it. But you know what I do? I accept it. I say, "Thank you, Jesus. I may not get it, but I accept it." 2 Thessalonians chapter 3:16, he says, "Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace always in every way. The Lord be with you." Luke chapter 18, verse 27, Jesus said, "The things which are impossible with men are possible with God." You may see it as impossible. I got news for you. It's not impossible. Not with Jesus. Jesus' birth announcement, the cards that was handed out at his birth by the angels, said this, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." Do you realize Jesus came to bring peace and goodwill to this world? Now Satan is going to tell you, and the world is beginning to turn against Christians. You've been watching the news? The world is turning. They're not so advantageous for us anymore. They really believe that we are the problem. And this is going to get worse. They're going to begin to point more and more to Christians that these narrow-minded people are the reason that we're having all the problems in the world. And Satan wants you to believe that God's not a giver, that he's a taker. But you hang on to the Word of God. Amen. Please, please listen to me. You realize that the very first thing he says, peace and goodwill. God has not come to curse you. God has not come to hurt you in any way. God has come for goodwill of man. He wants to bless your life. I remember I told you last week that Paul had never been to this church. Paul did not start this church. One of his converts started this church in Colossae. And he said, "Paul, will you help me out? I have a false teaching that is spreading through this church." Now I'm back at the beginning, Atlantis. I'm sure you're like, "I don't know where he's at." But they believed that Jesus was fully man. They believed that Jesus was fully man, but not fully God. And if you believe that Jesus is not fully God, then you have to say, "And he probably can't help me in my time of trouble." See, you cannot let any part of this statement go, that God is fully man and fully God. You know that in the scripture, it never really talks about Eve's sin. It talks about Adam's. Sin comes down through the father's bloodline. He skipped the earthly father. Right? Isn't that pretty marvelous? You do not inherit the sinful nature from Jesus, because his father was God. So when you accept Jesus in your heart as Savior, and you switch DNA, you switch from that sinful nature, you got to get this. That sinful nature that you inherited from your dad, that is broken. Man, this is shouting territory. And now you've got the nature of God coming into your life. That's your new DNA. And that nature is righteousness. It's a nature of love. It's a nature of goodness. It's a nature of goodwill to all people. You know, the same things that are said about Jesus ought to be said about you at your workplace. Well, I tell you what, he's never in a bad mood. There's something about him. I know he goes through difficult times, but yet he remains positive. Yet there's peace in his life. Yet he always is loving. Even when people get ugly with him, he responds in a correct manner. What's that all about? He's changed DNA. He doesn't have the sinful nature moving in his life anymore. Now he's listening to a new voice. It's the voice of God. Paul says, we gotta get this straight. He begins to tell him in Colossians about Jesus. That yes, he was born of a woman, but he was not born of a man. He was born of the Holy Spirit. You know, I think just for a second, let's talk about Joseph. Joseph was the finest, greatest stepdad that ever walked the earth. He knew Jesus was not his. And yet he fathered this baby that he knew was birth of the Holy Ghost. How intimidating would that be? Right? Son, I'd like to teach you about creation. Dad, I was there. I heard Robert Morris say that Joseph probably would be saying stuff like that. Jesus, quit showing off, quit walking on the water, get down, swim like the other kids. No, I don't believe he did that. I'm just saying it would be intimidating raising the Son of God. That little song that these kids sang, we will raise him. We will love him. Such a simple song. And as I listened to them sing it, I thought, oh my goodness. How many questions must have went through their minds? I mean, we always talk about Mary. Here she is. I love Mary. Because she says, be it unto me as you declare. You know, it's not my will, God, but if this is the plan that you have, I accept it. And the scripture says that she pondered these things in her heart. In other words, she didn't understand it. She didn't know how the Holy Ghost was going to come upon her and she's going to get pregnant. She just knew if God said it and cared enough to send an angel to talk to her about it, then it would happen. So she just said, be it unto me as you have declared. I accept it. And Joseph, the Bible says, being a good man, thought it was right to put her away privately. In other words, your words were so good up here. She doesn't deserve shame. Remember that statement he said? She doesn't deserve that. I'll just put her away. He loved this girl. What an honorable man. I'm not a stepdad. But if I was a stepdad, I would research the man Joseph. And I would say, God, give me the wisdom that Joseph walked in to raise these kids. The Bible says he was the firstborn over all creation. In other words, Jesus was bringing a new creation into the world. Not the creation of man and woman, the creation of the church. He said, I'm the firstborn of the family of God. I don't think we quite comprehend the powerfulness of the family of God. See, we learn and we grow together as we intertwine our lives. You know, Paul talked about the foolishness of preaching. Sometimes I feel like that. What in the world am I doing? But it's somehow when we stand and we just proclaim the word of the Lord, that the Spirit of God gets involved, just like he did in the creation. The Bible says that when God spoke the word, the Spirit came into action and made it happen. Do you realize that as I speak the word, the Spirit of God is getting involved, going into action in your heart? That's why I can preach one word and you can hear it 100 different ways. I think that's pretty awesome. He's the firstborn of the church, the firstborn of the new creation of God. He says he's the image of the invisible God. Those folks got to see God. We didn't. We don't get that. Probably the fat on my side rubbing. Sorry about that. Woo-hoo. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 through 3 says, God, who at various times, in various ways, spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets. In other words, God has been trying to speak to his people from the beginning. He was speaking through the prophets. But in these last days, he's spoken to us by his Son, Jesus, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world, who being the brightness of the glory and the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. We need to quit worrying about what might be. But what if we experience this? What if we go through this? I got news for you. The word of God has been spoken. You get this. The word of God is still holding it all together. The word of God holds you together. When the devil is toying with you and spinning you around and making you feel like you're just running in circles, God says, I got you. I'm right here. I'm upholding you. I love how he said that. He upholds all things by the word. He doesn't say the power of his word. He says the word of his power. The word of God is powerful. It's more powerful than your thoughts. It's more powerful than the devil. It's more powerful than culture. It's more powerful than Trump or the Congress. I started to add an adjective. I don't need to do that. Of Congress. The word of God is powerful. Quit putting your faith in what Trump says or what the Congress says or what anyone else says. Get to the Word of God. Find out what He says about you. I'm going to tell you, He says you're victorious in all ways. He says He causes you to triumph. He says, greater is you in you than he that's in the world. We're so stinking scared of the devil, we keep running from him when all we need to do is stop and say, get behind me, Satan. The Bible says, thank you, I finally got it. You've been here for 3 months and I finally got it. The Bible says he's the creator of the visible and invisible thrones, dominions, principalities, and powers. You got to get this. He is the creator of the visible things that we see. And so many people don't want to talk and don't even want to believe that there's an invisible world. But Scripture says he's the creator of the invisible world. See, you can't see it. We're giving up too quick. When we need to realize there's power and principalities that you cannot see. The Bible says we don't wrestle with flesh and blood, but we wrestle against principalities and powers of darkness. Your problems that you think are physical are probably spiritual. You'd be better off to wrestle it in prayer than wrestle with somebody in words. He's the creator of the invisible throne. I got news for you, folks. When you pray, listen to this. When you pray, you come into a throne room of heaven. And God always extends the scepter. Come on, child. Tell me what you need. Quote my word to me. Stand upon my word. Move in faith. Quit moving by what you see. Let's call things that are not as though they are. He said he's before all things. Now listen, he's talking to a church that has been told that Jesus is not powerful enough to handle your needs. He's telling them who he really is. He said he's before all things. You think you're talking about the guy who lived for 33 years? I got news for you. On the day of creation, he was there. He says he's before all things, and in him all things consist. In John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, I'm going to need oxygen in just a minute. Says, in the beginning was the Word. Thank you, Jesus. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Oh, come on. Come on. It's that word right there. That word right there. We could say that's God. It's living and it's active. And we set it on the shelf and rarely read it. This is God. This is God's word to you. This is powerful enough to change your life. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through Him. Without Him, nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. He came to this earth, and they did not recognize Him as Lord. Stay with me for a second. They missed it. The religious people couldn't comprehend that God would come as a baby. That this man is really God. And we don't have much patience for that. But I got news for you. That spirit is still alive. It's the same spirit that says that that's not really God. God couldn't do it that way. That's not God. It's the same spirit that people say to the Holy Spirit every day of their life. I think it needs to be squashed down that there is a Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit of God, and He wants everyone to be baptized with the power of the Holy Ghost. And when you say, oh, He scares me, I don't want to be like that little fat preacher. He goes wild. Well, you don't have to be like me. But I got news for you. There is power on high that is waiting for you to walk in. And I'll tell you, I think 2020 is the year of the Holy Spirit. I believe it's a year that people are going to pour out His Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Yeah, they may speak in tongues a little bit too. Woo, get quiet on that one. Hail Mary, full of grace. I'll take the other eight and leave that one alone. Do you realize? Now, when you get saved, the Holy Spirit comes in you. He's in there. It's the hope of glory. Paul says this is a mystery. It's something that hasn't been revealed yet, but it's been revealed to us. Christ in us, the hope. The hope of glory. Oh, we move from glory to glory. You don't have to go from hell to hell. The Bible says you can step from glory to glory. Oh, praise the God. It gets sweeter every day. I'm going from glory. But if you keep dwelling on this earth here, you're going to walk in a lot of hell. But we got a Father in heaven that wants to rise us up. He wants to bring us up to a new level. There's power, I'm telling you, that we're not tapping into. It's the power of the Holy Ghost. We're nothing more than the Pharisees. We look at the Holy Spirit and say, you guys over there, you crazy guys can keep that one. I got a news for you. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is not a Pentecostal thing. He's in all denominations. You need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that power comes upon you. Say, Pastor, what's that got to do with peace? Well, that's the part of this sermon I hadn't figured out yet. I just thought it was too good to pass it up. Says He was in the world. The world was made through Him. The world did not know Him. But look at this, verse 12. But as many as received Him, that's you. That's you folks. You said, Jesus, come into my heart. Here's what He did for you. To them He gave the right, the authority, the power to become children of God. You may see yourself as born on the wrong side of the tracks. Well, I was born poor. I'll probably die poor. You need to shut that nonsense up. I was born a failure and I'll probably be a failure. I was a bastard at birth and that's what God has for me. Oh, come on. God doesn't create junk. God wants to bless your life. I don't care how you came into this world. Probably most of us in this world are mistakes. Not for Him. Right? Maybe your parents didn't. You know, I've got one of those. I had a vasectomy and 9 months later, Tree was pregnant. Well, He wasn't my plan, but He was God's plan. We started to name Him Jesus. What a blessing He has been to our life. Thank God it wasn't about my plan. I would have missed the joy of my third son. You have been called the children of God. Come on. You got to ask yourself, am I living like that? Am I living like I'm a child of God? Praise God. I'm glad you got it. The Word became flesh and He dwelt among us and we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You've been brought into a new family. There's power in you that you do not know. When you change your words, you're going to change your life. You know, most of my life I tried to change my actions. I didn't realize if I just changed my heart, then my words change. Then my actions are natural. There's a natural change in my action. It's not so much of me. You know, the more you concentrate on not sinning, the more sin you'll do. Because that's what you're focusing on. Most of my life, I can't cuss, I can't cuss. Can't tell dirty jokes, can't do that, seems like that's all I want to talk about. Pastor Art came to our church and he taught us this. You need to concentrate on the will of God. What's He got planned for you? I tell you, your life will change. I promise that it will. The Word became flesh and He dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory. The glory is the one, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus is the head of the body. The body is the church. And Jesus is the head. We need to get our direction from the head, not from anyone else. Amen? And He says He has preeminence. In other words, He has supremacy. It's His word that counts. Doesn't matter what everybody else tells you. You know, it's hard to go against people, isn't it? I don't know, but there's something in each one of us that want to please people. We just need to let that die. Amen. We need to quit trying to please people and start trying to please God. Amen. That's good preaching. Says, in Him all the fullness of God dwells. Jesus is the totality of God in power and attributes. I'm not oneness. I believe in the Trinity. I believe in Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. But I'm going to tell you, when you look at Jesus, you get a picture of all of it. He is God. It's the Spirit of God is the Holy Spirit. Don't be afraid of Him. Welcome Him. Even if you don't comprehend it. And you won't. You're not that bright. Maybe you look pretty good compared to me. Probably most of you do. But compared to Him, we ain't that bright. There are things that you accept by faith. And one of them is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And if you've been scared of this all your life, I'm telling you, 2020 is the year to lay that fear down. And folks, I'm not trying to act, I don't want you to act weird. I just want this prayer to come out of your lips. God, I don't understand Him. Please don't call the Holy Spirit it. I don't understand Him. But if He's of you, I want all of you I can get. And I give you the authority to baptize me in the Holy Spirit. however that looks like. And you know what, church? We're going to take the boundaries off. We're not going to tell you how you act with the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, just let Him have His way. I'm not going to tell you, you got to do this first or you got to do that. I'm going to say, just let God be God. Says He reconciled all things. You may have problems with people. Jesus is the reconciler. It says the world has been made savable. The world has been made savable through Jesus Christ. Why? Because when Adam sinned, it brought a span between man and God. God came down every day in the garden and talked to Adam and Eve. But after they sinned, there was distance. And that distance was broken up by this cross, by the blood of Jesus. Jesus took a hold of God with one hand and took a hold of you with the other. And He is the great intercessor. And He says, now you can come before God. Think about this. What you are experiencing when you walk into the church and you feel the Spirit of God. In the Old Testament, one man, one time a year, got to move into the Holies of Holies. We experience the Holy of Holies every time we get together, and sometimes you experience it in your own closet. That's what He did. Don't you tell me He's not fully God. I don't want to lose the man side either, because that I can relate to. But He is God, and He is able to take care of any problem that I have. And He wants me to have peace. Peace in my family. Peace at work. Peace in myself. You know, the greatest battle that I ever faced in life was not the battle with my wife. It was not the battle with other people. It was the battle with me. I thought I was losing my mind. I used to quote the scripture about 200 times a day before I ever get out of bed. Thou hast given him perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon him because he trusts in you. I'm telling you, I know what that battle's like. I know it's miserable when you don't know what's going on, but you're fighting the battle and it's with yourself. And God said, I want you to have my peace. Peace I speak unto you. You can go to the doctor and you can get drugs. You can get all kinds of things that calms you down. Just sedate yourself. Or you can go to the Word of God. And you can start quoting the promises of God. Now there may be a time in your life when you need help from a doctor. I'm not preaching against that. But I believe this. It ought to be a time. I don't believe it's a lifestyle. I believe God is greater than the drugs on earth. That God is able to bring peace to my troubled soul. And I want you to know, I was a child of God when I went through all those things. I'm not talking about unbelievers. I'm talking about believers that face mental challenges every day of their life. This world has a way of shaking you. And we need to stand up on the Word of God. We need to say, when all hell breaks loose, He is my peace. He has broken down every wall. And those walls may be in your own mind. Would you stand with me? That's a Christmas story right there that you probably want to tell your kids. Hey, you want to hear the Christmas story? Listen to this pastor preach it. We're just going to stomp the devil's head a little bit. I said, all right, get down there. Bow down. They should have never put hardwood floors underneath my feet. I like it. I don't know if you're brave enough, if you have enough courage, but I know you're here. I know you're here. I told Treva this morning, I said, I have no idea what I'm preaching. There's no idea. Oh, I prepared a sermon, but I went back to look at it. It was like, dear God, who fixed this sermon? It's got some schizophrenia going on, I think. Just all over the place. But the Spirit of God has brought a message to the house. I'm going to give you two options. I believe there's some people that just need to come down and let us pray for you today. Some people are fighting a battle. I got a feeling it's not a battle with the devil, it's a battle with you. And you need to stand on this promise that God has brought you peace. If you're here, you want us to pray for you, I want you to come and stand. Now listen to me here. With your eyes closed, your heads bowed. For those of you who says, I just don't think I can come down there. Would you raise your hand and say, Pastor, would you pray for me? Because that ministered to me and I need peace. Amen. I see that hand. I see it. Amen. I see those hands. Now you're welcome to come down here. But even if you can't, when I was a kid, I tried to make it to the front of the church one day. I'd been sick for a month. I made it about halfway in a collapse. I missed 4 weeks straight of school. It was the first attack that I ever had on my peace. 12 years old. Sixth grade. But I'm going to tell you, God met me at that halfway part. He touched my life. And he broke a spirit off of me that was of the devil. I won't say he healed me, but I'm going to say he broke something off of me. And that's what we're praying for you folks. You don't need healing, but you need that torment broke off of you. See, the Bible says fear has torment. And see, what the devil wants to replace, the devil gives you fear, God gives you peace. Got news for you. Peace is a whole lot better. Your situation may not change, but I promise you, your mind will, because he's going to rest upon you today. Folks, I need you to pray with me. If there's somebody up here that you want to lay hands on, you feel free to come up here. You lay your hands on these folks. These are honest, brave people that were willing to stand up here and say, I'm fighting a battle. Don't you dare judge them. You pray for them. Jesus, I come before you right now. I have delivered a message from you that I didn't even know how it was going to come about. But Father, I know that I know that I know that you brought a message to these folks today about your peace, about you are supreme, that they have to bow and bend to no other pressure. That they are to listen to you and stand firm in you. And God, Satan maybe has painted a picture to them, and it's a picture of failure. It's a picture of defeat. And we just come to say, no, I'm not having it. I veto his picture, and I accept the will of God, which is to triumph. In the name of Jesus, I pray, God, that that spirit of fear would be broken. Broken today off of these folks. And that your peace, your perfect peace, would rest upon them. Touch their hearts. Touch their minds. Set their spine like it's steel, Father. They will not give up. They will not retreat. But they will stand firm in who they are in you. Yes, they have problems, and we know we have problems. But greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. Listen to me, folks. Your past is your past. It's not your future. Now you need to forgive yourself. You need to quit walking in shame. God said, I bore your shame on that cross. Don't you let the devil paint that for you anymore. You hold your head up high, and I am going to turn the direction of your life. I've come that you might have life and have it to the fullest. In the name of Jesus, I speak peace to your heart, to your mind, to your situation. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give God praise. Hallelujah, Lord, we worship you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah, we worship you. Hallelujah. His name will be called Wonderful. These folks standing up here will understand Wonderful as Jesus breaks that off of their life. The more He does for you, the more wonderful He gets. Amen. Brother Denny, would you come?